Good morning, beloved family. It gives me great joy to greet you this morning. I trust you all are well. During this uncertainty and national chaos in the secular world, I am glad to announce that many of our people in our family are being blessed. Our people, by virtue of them passionately embracing the fiscal principles of the kingdom of God, have gone ahead during this period and purchased new vehicles, purchased new homes, purchased new furniture. Our people have retained their jobs, receiving incentives and annual increases, while many of their colleagues have been handed retrenchment notices. Remember, the Lord is always faithful to His word and His promises. All we need to do is follow His commandments. Your love for Him is determined by the way you respect and honor His commandments and principles, even in your giving. I want to continue to speak on our topic, spiritual authority. As mentioned last week, it is a struggle, real struggle, to share messages on this topic, as the devil does everything for us not to come under spiritual authority, either directly or when it comes to delegated authority vested in servants of God. Remember, believers have been given authority as well, as well as those called to represent the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, in our context, it would be Mama Val and yours truly. I must admit, it is a daunting responsibility to lead a household of faith in these last days before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is required by Abba Father that every representative spiritual leader who has been procured with spiritual authority to live and to walk in total humility and righteousness, following all the instruction of the Holy Trinity in the most honorable and impeccable manner. In John 15:16, in the Amplified, this is what Jesus tells us as representative leaders. Reading, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I have appointed you. I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit that may be lasting." Let me personalize this. Ivan, you have not chosen me, but I, Jesus Christ, have chosen you, Ivan. I, Christ, have appointed you, Ivan. I, Christ, have planted you, Ivan, that you, Ivan, might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit that is lasting. So when I apply this to the office Mama Val and I are in, then we cannot temper, we cannot adulterate, we cannot deodorize, we cannot make consequential and mitigate by introducing mixture and alloys to the sovereign and pure calling. We also want to enter this eternal bliss. We want to make it across the line. And that's our desire. After serving all this time, we also want to make it across, where Jesus would say, "Enter into my rest, you faithful servants of God." Therefore, it is of paramount importance that we all become very serious in following the word and the will of God as good and faithful sons. Beloved, how is it possible that when your earthly bosses introduce secular workplace reforms, you accept? When they give you your retrenchment letters, you accept? When the president of our country asked us to wear masks and to observe social distancing, you automatically adhered? How come when the word of God, who is a person a million times more important, mind my colloquialism, than any human being. When he speaks the word of God, we lose interest and we do not respect. Now, this will bring severe judgment on such a category of believers who have more time, more respect, more honor, place more emphasis and weight on the words and the instruction of earthly human beings, and yet treat God shabbily. Listen to what God warned the prophet Ezekiel about such people in the church. I want to read this passage of scripture both in the New King James Version and the Message Bible. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 to 33. Ezekiel 33, from verse 30 to 33. It's about hearing and not doing. And this is what God is speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you besides the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Let me read the same passage in the Message Bible. As for you, son of man, you've become quite the talk of the town. Your people meet on the street corners and in front of their houses and say, let's go hear the latest news from God. They show up as people tend to do, and they sit in your company. They listen to you speak, but don't do a thing you say. They flatter you with compliments, but all they care about is making money and getting ahead in themselves. To them, you are merely entertainment, a country singer of sad love songs playing a guitar. They love to hear you talk, but nothing comes of it. But when all this happens, and it is going to happen, they'll realize that a prophet was among them. And so, these are frightening passages of scriptures that are becoming so relevant at this time when people are reckless, when believers have no respect for God and His Word. They would listen to His Word and not thank Him for His Word. They would listen to the Word like listening to, like watching a movie. They won't see the life in it. They will hear the Word and still complain, hear the Word and still have problems, hear the Word and still act like they don't know God. They will break bread, hear the Word of God, and go back to their sinful habits and patterns on a Monday morning. But God is dealing with all these issues right now. And as a servant of God, my hands are tied. It is God and you. God is dealing with all these issues, beloved. So much for that. I wish to refer to some scriptures on authority so that we get to see the importance of this influence in the life of a true believer as well as a true leader. God's not interested in professing believers. He's interested in true believers. He does not want false leaders. He does not want leaders that are counterfeit. He wants true leaders. So let me read these passages of scriptures, different scriptures. You must take note of it. This subject of spiritual authority is so important that it will determine whether you're going to a Christ-full eternity or Christ-less eternity. So let's just follow together. I hope you have followed last week's message very carefully. I have not received responses from some of you, so I'm not too sure whether you've listened to it. But to those that are taking these messages very seriously, there is a pathway that's been created for you to rectify erroneous moves and erroneous words and patterns of behaviors that were unacceptable. Now they are being reversed through repentance, listening to the word. You shall know the truth. You shall know the word, and the word will set you free. So let's listen to some of these scriptures that I want to put out, and follow with me. Matthew 7:29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Matthew 21:23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." 2 Corinthians 10:8. Paul is speaking. Now, even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. 2 Corinthians 13:10. So I write these things while I am away from you, so that when I come, I may not have to be severe in using that authority that the Lord has given to me for building up and not for tearing down. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. Therefore, whoever rejects this, rejects not human authority, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. Are you getting the line of thought on this word authority? Man, some of these verses are so powerful. Titus 2:15, declare these things, exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one look down on you. Talking to Titus as a servant of God. 1 Peter 5:5, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you must clothe yourself with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 2 Peter 2:10, especially those who indulge their flesh in depraved lust and would despise authority, bold and willful, they are not afraid to slander the glorious ones. 3 John 9, I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge apostolic authority. We will talk more on the Diotrephes virus when we deal with all the blockages in our system. Jude 8, yet in the same way, these dreamers also defile the flesh. They reject authority and they slander the glorious ones. Revelation 11:3, and I will grant my two witnesses authority to prophesy for 1,260 days wearing sackcloths. Revelation 18:1, after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his splendor. Revelation 20:4, then I saw thrones, and those seated on them, they were given authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Amen. These are some of the scriptures on authority that speak into us. I could go through each of the scripture and do a summary or a look in or a expository on these scriptures and pick up the key points, but I'll leave that for you to do. The meaning of the Greek word for authority as used in the New Testament, authority, when it's used as a noun, beloved, it comes from the word exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, which is derived from the verb exesti, E-X-E-S-T-I, which means it is lawful. So when we have authority, we're talking about something that is lawful. The most basic meaning of the word then means a derived or delegated right. It can also mean, depending on the context, permission to do something, liberty, the ability one must perform or accomplish something, or the right to exercise power. The word authority, when derived from exousia, emphasizes the right more than the power to do something. There are two basic forms of this right to exercise authority. There's intrinsic authority, which has to do with moral authority. This authority is derived from one's own person by virtue of the person's character. Delegated authority, that is authority given to a person from another source. In my context, it'll be God who delegates his authority into me to manage the environment for him, or to steward the environment for him. So when I stand in front of those that I am mentoring, teaching, coaching, or speaking to, it is as if he is standing. Respecting the one that comes in the name of the Lord means respecting the Lord. Okay, have you got that? Since there's no authority except from God, and we covered that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, we may deduct from this verse, Romans 13, 1, the principle that every kind of authority other than God himself is derived or delegated authority. And therefore, every other authority is secondary to God. So in my opening comments, you see the authority in your earthly boss, you see the authority in the president, you see the authority in different people, but that's secondary. All these types of authority is either derived or delegated, and it's secondary to God. Even moral authority is derived from being created in God's image. One other kind of authority that makes supremacy over human authority is the Bible. Because it is inspired by God, you can read that in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it has divine authority. Hallelujah. The Bible was given by God with the intention that we submit to it and we obey everything that's contained in it. Not to look at it as one more influence in our lives, but we must look at it as God's will and God's voice to us. Christians have been given various kinds of authority. These include the authority of the believer to cast out demons, Mark 3:15, the authority of parents to instruct their children and command their obedience. You can read that in Ephesians 6:1, and the authority of church leaders. Each kind of derived or delegated authority has certain conditions and qualifications for it to be exercised properly. The scriptures are careful to distinguish between spiritual authority and the authority of the secular leaders. The authority that Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 13 is the right and the power to enforce obedience But the authority Peter speaks about in 1 Peter chapter 5 is the responsibility to serve God's people for God's purposes in God's ways. Let me say that again. Peter speaks in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, about the responsibility that we have as leaders, spiritual leaders, with spiritual authority to serve God's people for God's purposes in God's ways. Let's list a few scriptures in this regard. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 5. Now as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you. That's making reference to Mama Val and myself, the elders among you, to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those you in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief steward appears, that's Christ appearing the second time, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you must clothe yourself with humility in dealing with one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. So when you give the earthly bosses honor, you must choose the elders of your spiritual life and give them double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and in teaching. So those that labor in preaching and teaching to you and rule well in all of your affairs, you got to consider them with double honor. This is the word of God. Titus 1:5. I left you behind in Crete for this reason, so that you should put in order what remains to be done, and you should appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 30. And I'm going to read the scripture and later elaborate on that. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So who has made Mama Val and me overseers? The Holy Spirit. So it's an apostolic anointing over leaders. So we are warned to keep watch over ourselves as well over you, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own son. I know that after I have gone, says Paul, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some even from your own group will come distorting the truth in order to entice the disciples to follow them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Are you getting the gist? Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders. Submit to them. Let them do this with joy and not with sighing. For that would be harmful, not for Mama Val and myself, harmful for you. Every time you make it difficult for us to pastor you, God will demerit you. In fact, and also increase his favor upon us. That's why we choose to go on and on working, even if we are crucified, even if we have spoken against, even if people rise up against us vocally and through body language, we will still go on because our responsibility is second to none in serving the Lord God Almighty. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, Timothy, Paul as a father speaking to his son, spiritual son, proclaim the message, son. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince the people that you are teaching and preaching to. Rebuke them if it needs be. Encourage them with the utmost patience in teaching. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. Let me give you some comments on the nature of spiritual authority, as time is going very, very fast and I'm hardly in my message. It is clear from these passages, beloved, and from others, that there is a delegated authority to those who are called and gifted by God to lead the church. Would you agree with me? In our context, I want you to picture our context. Yeah, Mama Val and I are leading you. We have delegated authority. In other words, God stands in us and he, by his spirit, and he directs you, he trains you, he equips you, he calls you. He calls you to partner, he calls you to do so much. And he wants us, like the coach, like the captain of a team, to lead you so that you become effective in the work of the Lord. Okay? Every time there's a no to what we want, it's a no not to us, but it's a no to Christ. How do I know this principle? You know, Saul was on the horse and on the road to Damascus, taking a letter to persecute all the Christians. And on the way, a light struck him. He fell down from his high horse, and on the ground, as he was on the ground, he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That was a voice of Jesus Christ, but he was not persecuting Jesus Christ. He was persecuting the Christians, the ones that are sons of God. So every time, the principle is that every time you embarrass, you insult, you rise up against, or you do not cooperate with spiritual authority or delegated authority in the house, you're not doing it to the ones that are leading you. You are doing it to Jesus Christ. And Jesus can say, let's use a name. John, John, why are you doing this to me? And you can easily say, Lord, I'm not doing it to you. I'm doing it to my spiritual leader. And Jesus could easily say, by you doing it to them, you are doing it to me. Okay? I'm just trying to paraphrase this as simply as possible so you can absorb that, especially our children. We don't want them to learn any bad traits as they are growing up. They must grow up in true purity, true understanding of authority, so that they burst into greatness in their lives and are not held back, in Jesus' name. So it is clear that God has delegated authority to those who are called and gifted by him to lead the church, but that authority can only be exercised properly to the degree there is a derived authority to carry it out in a Christ-like manner. In other words, if I'm reckless as a leader and I don't have Christ in me, you have no right to follow me as a leader. Okay? So you must follow a Christ-like leader. I repeat that again. If the leader is reckless, he's not living his life properly, You have no right to follow him, especially now in the end time. There are many, many pastors that are messing up, and they are lording over people, and they're manipulating people, and they're using language like "the Lord will kill you if you rise up against me." These type of things are happening, but the leader, as much as we want the members of a church to follow delegated authority, they can never follow a leader who is unsaved, who is full of evil and wickedness. Is that right? You got that in your mind? In other words, spiritual authority is delegated by God, but derived through godliness. So let me say that again. Spiritual authority is delegated by God, but derived through godliness. So the real question on spiritual authority is not, does it exist, but how is it to be exercised? That in turn depends on how one defines spiritual authority. Jesus made it abundantly clear that what he meant by authority was influencing the flock through serving it. So let's take this statement and tuck it into our spirit. Spiritual authority is the authority to influence the flock through serving it. Okay, you've got that. The only right use of spiritual authority is to serve others. Luke 22, verse 26 and 27, you can read that. Let him who governs be as one who serves. Let him who governs be as one who serves. In this sense, authority is defined as a right to influence others. Jesus went to great lengths to redefine the meaning of that authority, both in word and in deed. But how do we know if we are exercising spiritual authority in a Christ-like way? I think the following seven tests may help. Number one, does it restrict or does it liberate? Two, does it lead to conformity or does it promote creativity? Number three, does it bring dependence on man or does it bring dependence on God? Four, does it produce servility or does it produce servanthood? Does it depend on law or does it depend on grace? Does it destroy or build a person's confidence? And finally, does it produce fear of touching God's anointed, or does it equip people to function with confidence in their gifts as priests and kings before God? There are three dimensions of spiritual authority, and I want to cover that, and maybe that is where we're going to stop. Let's see how far we go. This is getting really interesting. I love teaching on this. I love applying this to myself. I'm learning this morning. Yesterday morning, I went on my knees looking at some of these things so carefully because I don't want to lose out on my life after death. By looking at the practical outworking of the spiritual authority, there are three dimensions of spiritual authority. Let's see how these things work out. We get a better feel of what authority is as we look at how it's going to be worked out. Those three dimensions are, number one, the mark of spiritual authority is Christ-likeness. I wish I was doing a study in a classroom with students and giving out worksheets and allowing you to fill these blanks. I hope we could have done that. Well, we'll get to do that shortly. So the mark of spiritual authority is, fill in the blank, Christ-likeness, Christ-likeness, Christ-likeness. There is no spiritual authority outside a Christ-like nature. Spiritual authority is not taken. It's just offered. Once you try to force people to do or believe something, that means to enforce your right to influence them, you are no longer exercising spiritual authority, but you're operating in the flesh. Jesus came 2,000 years ago as a suffering servant. He came to win the hearts of people by serving them and ultimately dying for them. Spiritual leaders in his church are commanded to do the same. I repeat that. Spiritual leaders in the church of Jesus Christ are commanded to serve the people and even die for them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are not called to be lords parading ourselves, parading our dressing, our images, our personalities. No, we are called as servants of God to serve God's people, to serve God's purpose. In Mark 9:35, Jesus sat down. He called the 12 and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." I love this verse of scripture. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. You know, you've been to certain parties, certain functions, certain conferences, and let me use an example. Man, there's this wedding reception, and people always want to go to the front tables. Maybe it's because of photographs, the video, or to get a good look at what's going on. And a person goes to sit in the front, goes early, leaves the wedding ceremony early, gets to the reception because they want to catch that seat right in front. And maybe also to take all those goodies on the table and put it in your bag before anyone comes. I don't know. But you're sitting in this table and you didn't see the reserve sign. And you're sitting and sitting and sitting. And all of a sudden, someone comes and tells you, "Listen, you're sitting in the wrong table. This table is reserved for the family of the bride or groom." Now you'll have to shift from there, and you look behind you. All the tables behind you are full already because you sat in the wrong table at the wrong time. Okay? So all the tables, and you try to get to the nearest table to where you were sitting, no place. So you have to go right to the back, right to the back. You get the gist of what I'm trying to say. So he sat down, he called the 12, he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Spiritual authority includes persuasion. Paul is a good example of someone who employed every means possible to convince the churches he planted to do what he felt was right. He pleaded, he cajoled, he warned, he pressured, all to touch the hearts of God's people and move them to obedience to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:12. "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others." So not only are we talking about the mark of spiritual authority being Christ-likeness, the mandate of spiritual authority is to lead. I know you all are looking for a leader and want a leader that is able to lead. One, he must be Christ-like. Two, he must have the ability to lead. I thank God for Mama Val and myself. We complement each other. Where I come short, she fills me. Where I come short, where she comes short, I fill her. And as one team, we're able to lead you, lead the work of the Lord, lead Hebron projects, lead many things, because this is a mandate of spiritual authority. You must have the ability to lead. So while I'm concerned about the style of leadership, I want to be clear that it is leadership I'm calling for. It is going in front. It is making decisions. It's persuading others to make decisions. The exercise of spiritual authority differs according to the gifts a person has been given. The spiritual authority of a teacher flows from the right use of the scriptures to persuade and convince, whereas the prophet warns about sin in people's life and reveals the heart of God. Apostolic authority is derived from the faith and vision one has of the glory of God among the Gentiles and one's role as a spiritual parent to those who come to Christ through ministry. So we spoke about the mandate, we spoke about the mark. Let's speak about the ministry of those given spiritual authority. And this, again, is threefold. Time is running out away. Number one, the ministry of those in spiritual authority. In our context, it'll be Mama Val and myself. Number one is to guard the flock. Is to guard the flock. To guard the flock against wolves within, from within. This is what we read early on. And let me just read this verse of scripture again. Paul is writing, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, Ivan and Val, to shepherd, to tend, to feed, to guide the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage or ferocious wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse and distorted things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, be continually alert, beloved, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. There was somebody that spoke to one of the young people in our household and said, why do you want to be with Ivan? Come over. And, come over by me. Why are you going to stick around with them? So these are some of the distortions that we will face. But I say God is not sleeping. He's awake. He's aware. And in this last time, he is really, really on kind of a warpath against leaders that are corrupt. And leaders think that there are many Jesus, there are many heavens, there are many fathers, so they can skip from one Jesus to another Jesus. But it's the same, only one Jesus, only one Holy Spirit, only one Father. And Paul says in verse 32, because of all this is happening, I commend you to God, placing you in his protective, loving care, favor. Secondly, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is the counsel and promises of his unmerited favor. Grace will build you up, beloved, and give you your inheritance amongst the sanctified. So don't be mesmerized by gifts of leaders. Don't be mesmerized by, man, that preacher, he can prophesy, or that preacher, he can heal, that preacher, he can do things. Let me tell you something. All of these things can take place even under the guidance of the devil himself. And you know that from the courts of Pharaoh. I want to read Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 to 4. And I want to go through some things quickly. I'm not going to finish this. But maybe I should just stop right here. Stop right here and just pray that God will touch us. I want to read something very, very important in Ezekiel concerning the flock and how we need to guard the flock as leaders. So let me just recap in a second concerning this last point. There's a mark of spiritual authority, and that is Christ-likeness. The mandate of spiritual authority is to lead, and the ministry of spiritual authority is threefold: to guard the flock, to govern the flock, and thirdly, to guide the flock. And we're going to talk more about this next week. And I think it's building up into something very powerful where we have to make these adjustments. Beloved, listen to these teachings last week and this week over and over again and draw some key points. I'm encouraging all the home church leaders to please encourage your people, write some points for them on your groups, let them go through it, some salient points. Let's get involved together and adjust the people of God of Gate Ministries, Durban South. May God bless you and prosper you in Jesus' name. Amen.